It's 89 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight.
Tonight, confusion rocks MPP Wale Wale constituency parliamentary primary rerun. With police force, a fire warning shots after ballots were snatched during sorting. Ballot sorting and counting has now halted in a fierce contest between incumbent MP and special advisor to Vice President Bawumia.
Why are you running away from opening the car? You should have come and opened the car. You understand? It means something is inside. That's why he doesn't want to come and open the car. So now the supporters are angry. And they are saying that the car will not go unless they open the car.
We're live on the ground with the very latest, where at least three people have been arrested.
Also tonight, National Democratic Congress set to hit the streets in a nationwide demonstration to compel the Electoral Commission to clean the voters' register ahead of the 2024 polls.
Those of you who have been asking us, if they don't comply, what would you do? This is your answer. On the 17th of this month, the NDC is embarking on a massive nationwide demonstration.
But will they get the support from their counterparts, the NPP, for instance?
They are playing a chase-up game on us because we left this in 2015. They said, NPP is talking nonsense. NPP is talking rubbish.
We have all the updates from day one of filing of nominations at the EC headquarters and across the country. Also, things are getting worse. That's the verdict of the Ghana Bar Association on the illegal mining menace, which they believe government is not making any headway with the fight, as they condemn the politicization of the menace, describing it as irresponsible, shocking, and regrettable.
Despite the efforts and assurance of government to deal with the menace, there appears to be a consensus that not much has been done to effectively and roundly deal with it. To be blunt, things are getting worse. Unfortunately, it has degenerated into a political football match between the major political parties as to who polluted the water the most.
And then President Akufo-Addo touts his government's achievement in the fight against corruption, as he says there's still an attempt to portray him and his family as corrupt.
I'm aware that there's a deliberate, politically motivated effort to stigmatize my government, my family, and myself as corrupt, as payback for the damaging allegations of corruption leveled against members of the Swa Mahama administration.
In business, government secures commitment from commercial creditors on proposed terms for restructuring the Eurobond debt.
That and more in tonight's edition of Newsnight. Join us with your thoughts, your comments is via WhatsApp 055-111-1997. We are live on X Spaces. You're on Facebook. Hit us with a hashtag Newsnight. I am Emefa Apau.
And my name is Evans Mays. And we start in the election headquarters.
Election headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, and Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging the gap for positive youth development.
And there's confusion tonight in the Wale Wale constituency, where the police in the last hour have been forced to fire warning shots in an attempt to protect the integrity of the governing party's parliamentary primary rerun there. Joy News is learning sorting of the ballot papers was disrupted after they were snatched. Ballot sorting and counting has now halted in a fierce contest between the incumbent MP Hajia Lariba Zuriba Abudu and the special advisor to the Vice President Tia Abdul Kabiru Mahama. I want to take you there live right now, where Elias Otanko is a man on the ground for us. Elias, so what more do we know about the confusion on the ground and the police attempt to bring this under control?
Well, we know that the architect of this particular distraction is the former chairman of the MPP in the Yagaba Kubore constituency. He's called Akamara Bawa. He had stood for the chairmanship position, the regional chairmanship position in the Northeast region twice and defeated in all these. He was with the team of Abiru initially, but during this rule run, he switched camp to the side of the incumbent MP. So just about the sorting was ongoing. We counted, they were sorted about 511 for Dr. KB. It was at this time that Akamara, coming from nowhere, dashed into the voting center, snatched the entire one of the ballot box itself, and made his way out running. And the police had to chase him, caught him, and then seize the ballot box from him. And as we speak, he is currently in custody alongside this particular large ballot box.
So this, we're not talking about ballot paper. They actually took away the ballot box. And I've seen the police very well armed attempting to bring that under control.
Exactly. I mean, in fact, according to our police sources, when he entered the voting ground in the initially, the police asked him what he was doing, but because they know him to be an executive of the party, they allow him to stay, not knowing that he intended to snatch this particular ballot box. And just about the time that they were sorting for Dr. KB, he then came in and snatched the ballot box, which he took away. The police had to mount a hot chase, and he was arrested.
What's the situation on the ground right now? Are things back under control?
Not really. It's a bit chaotic. There's a whole lot of allegations against the party executives in the region. Supporters of Dr. KB are claiming loudly and clear that there is a machination to steal, if you like, rig the election for the incumbent member of parliament. And so the police, the situation, even though they have taken back this particular snatch ballot box, they are still trying to bring the people back to see if they will establish camp for counting to begin.
And I'm watching the videos that we are seeing that you sent to us. I see that a police vehicle actually drove away with the ballot box.
Exactly, and it was being taken to it was being taken to the police headquarters, the municipal police headquarters in Wale Wale, where we have the ballot box currently in the plot Akamara Bawa, who did the snatching.
And this individual, you say he is a known party official in that particular constituency. He is currently behind bars, is he not?
Yes, exactly. Like I said, he was a former chairman of the MPP in the Mampurugu Mwaduri or Yagaba Kubore constituency. Initially, on January 27th, he was on the side of KB, but after the court case and the court declared that this election should be rerun, he switched camp to Haji Alariba. Eddie, he was a very respectable figure among the MPP in that particular constituency, and many people least expected this action from him.
What about the ECR officers on the ground? Are they safe? Are the police giving them protection?
Yes, there is enough police officers, nearly 350 joint security forces, most of them being police officers who are unarmed. We have nearly 20 armed soldiers who are also currently standing by. So there is enough security from the beginning of this particular election. And like I said, the police did not expect such an executive, such a respectful to conduct himself in this way. That is why they, first of all, allow him into the voting ground in the first place.
And I guess there is no idea, nobody has an idea when this will resume, the counting, the sorting. Nobody has an idea when this will happen.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, people... One supporter that I spoke to said they are aware of this particular machination. He said they are aware the executive want to repeat what they did in Yendi constituency, and they are going to resist this with all their might, and they are giving indication to confront or to, I mean, refuse any particular declaration unless KB is declared the winner of this particular election. Like I said, mostly the sorting KB's votes were being sorted first. And like I said, about 514 were sorted for KB, and this particular incident happened. So there's a distraction. Our authorities are trying to, establish calm, but it's been very difficult here in Wale Wale.
Eliasu, thank you very much. And if I ask, we've been talking, we've been seeing the videos coming from our correspondent on the ground. You can watch this on our social media platforms. So how is the party dealing with this, considering that the suspect in question, who is accused of snatching the ballot box, is a known former chairman of the party in the Yagaba Kubori constituency? I want to bring in Masaudu Osman, is the National Third Vice Chairman of the MPP. He was tasked to supervise the elections there. There's rerun, and thankfully, he joins us now with some clarity. Thank you very much, Osman, for your time here on Newsnight. What do you know about this particular incident and the alleged involvement of the former chairman of your party in the Yagaba Kubori constituency?
Good evening, Ms. Ivans.
Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Ms. Ivans, I want to clear something out there. When your reporter, I think he has reported wrongly. What he said, I think that's not the truth. What he said, I'm surprised and I'm shocked that your reporter is giving that reportage, because you came to my end and interviewed me. Mr. Evans, the truth is that your reporter said they have counted. No counting has been done in the voting center.
Well, he talked about sorting.
No counting. Nobody has been counted any ballot for any candidate.
Well, he talks about sorting.
We were sorting the ballot.
Yes, he talked about sorting.
We were not yet ended sorting. We were sorting the ballot. We were not yet ending sorting the ballot. We were almost to sort the ballot, and this unfortunate incident happened.
You're actually saying the same thing he told us. He talks about sorting was underway when this happened, this snatching of the ballot box happened.
Come again.
He talks about sorting. He said sorting was underway when this ballot snatching actually happened.
But I can hear you mention a figure about 500 and something has been counted for one particular candidate, which is not true. It is not true. Nobody started counting. Nobody started counting. It was sorted. They were sorting, and sorting is not yet even ended when the unfortunate incident happened. All things is that we have started voting peacefully. Delegates have come and cast their vote peacefully until when it's about 4 p.m. when voting has ended and we start sorting. So we are on our way sorting the ballot. We are almost done with the sorting, and unknown person, me, I don't know him, that Kamara, I don't know him anywhere, because I'm from national to supervise this election in Wale Wale. That Kamara guy, I don't know him, but what I witnessed there, it was a give and take between the Kamara, and one agent of Kabiru. I don't know what happened before. I've heard Dr. Kabiru agent. He pushed him, and the Kabiru agent to hurt him. So that is where they cut each other, and then the ballot papers on the table scattered. When he scattered, quickly the police have intervened and collect all the ballot paper. God so being good, no ballot paper has been destroyed. All the ballot has been collected and stored in the hand of the police. Currently, Evans, what I'm talking to, we are in the Wale Wale police station waiting for both candidates to come with their agent. The electoral commission is here. The police commander is here. We are going to recount the ballot at the police station so that whoever won, then the EC, the electoral commission, will then declare the results. No results has been counted. No any ballot has been counted. As of now, the papers are not even yet sorted. It is the custody of the police. All of us here currently, we are at the Wale Wale police station.
And so the remainder of the process will now happen at the police headquarters. You talk about getting the agents of the two candidates to come there and witness the process. Have you been in touch with Kabiru and Zuhra Abudu themselves?
We are calling Kabiru number. Kabiru number is going there. He's not picking, because Kabiru has declared himself. People, I can see in Wale Wale town, he's climbed on top of car. They have put powder on his face. They were running, shouting that Kabiru has won, which is not true. As of now that I'm talking to you, Mr. Evans, all of us, the Electoral Commission is here. We are all here waiting for Kabiru and his agent to come so that counting will continue.
What about the agents of Zuhura Abudu? Are they also there on the ground? Have you reached the incumbent?
As of now, because of the scattered, everybody scattered. So as of now, there is a huge crowd. I even managed with military intervention before I even came to the Walwale police station. So now we have contacted both of them. For Hajia Larba, we have got her. We call her. She's on her way coming. Kabiru, as of now that I'm talking to you, we call Kabiru. The phone is bailing, but he's not picking. I don't know what, maybe when you see the missed call, he will come. But currently, the situation now in Walwale is that no candidate has been declared as a winner. No counting has been done. It's only sorting, and the sorting is not even yet ended. It's during the sorting that this unfortunate incident happened, Mr. Evans.
Thank you very much. That's Masaudu Osman, there's the National Third Vice Chairman of the MPP, and he had responsibility, dispatched by the national officers to go to the Walwale constituency to supervise the process, which, as you know, has turned very chaotic. The police now, they have custody of the ballot boxes and the ballot papers. As he's explaining to us, that will now happen at the police headquarters. Thankfully, Gabriel Menu is the regional director of the Electoral Commission. He's also joining us right now on this unfolding story in Walwale tonight. If you're just joining us, there have been chaos at the MPP parliamentary primary rerun in Walwale. That has led to a situation where the police have taken custody of the ballot boxes. Warning shots were fired as we've been hearing. The process was disrupted following, as if you listen to what Masaudu Osman is saying, a scuffle broke out between these two individuals who are known to be supporters of two of the candidates in this process. Gabriel Menu joins us now. Mr. Menu, thanks for the time here on Newsnight. What can you tell us from the EC's point of view? What really happened? What disrupted this process?
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners. Yeah, you are here in Walwale, Northeast Regional. The NPP had their primaries. The first one was annulled. Then today, the court said that we should continue the election. We started the process in the morning. Everything went on well. So we finished the voting successfully. Then we started sorting. Just about 10 ballot papers. After the sorting, a man from nowhere came in and then just took some ballot papers, destroyed some of them. But the police were there, and then they arrested him, put them on the handcuff. Then everything was intact. All the ballot papers right now are intact. We brought them at the police station. So now the way forward is we are meeting the regional minister and then the security apparatus, and see the way forward, whether we are going to do the counting today or tomorrow by taking super refreshing. That is what is happening in Walwale now, Northeast Region Office.
We just spoke to Masaudu Osman, the National Third Vice Chairman, who says that they are now currently at the police headquarters, and it is their belief that, in fact, that's what he says will happen. The counting will happen at the police headquarters, and the rest of the process will be concluded there. Is that your understanding too?
Yes. That is what I'm saying, that we are meeting we are having a security meeting. We are meeting the regional minister and the security apparatus. Then we are meeting so that we can take a decision as to whether we are doing the counting today or tomorrow.
But this, if it will happen at the police headquarters.
Yes. We are the police depot.
Okay, you feel safe, you and your men?
Come again? Yeah, we are safe. We are safe.
Okay, and
the police were dead. Many, so nothing of all that happened except that outside I heard a gunshot. Except that we did not see it. So all the ballot papers are intact, and then we are here to take the decision with the RCC to do the counting.
And you need the candidates themselves or their agents there? Are they
exactly?
There?
Exactly. Definitely, we cannot do the counting without the party agents, the candidate agents. So. If you decide to do the counting, then the candidates, either the candidates themselves or their agents will come in so that we do the counting.
Are they there?
Electoral Commission alone cannot go ahead to do the counting. No, we don't do that.
That's right. So I'm just wondering, are they there, the candidates or their agents? Are they on the ground and are they part of this process of settling what should happen next?
The candidates' agents?
Yes, or the candidates themselves. Are they on the ground with you as you make the decisions around this?
No, I've not seen them. No, I've left the centre and I've come to the police depot here. But they were around during the voting.
Thank you very
and
much.
And we know the agents. We started everything well. So when you call them, when they come, then we do the counting.
Thank you very much. That there is Gabriel Aminu, who's the regional director of the Electoral Commission, speaking to us about the unfolding situation in Wale Wale tonight, where the process to elect a parliamentary candidate on the ticket of the MPP in that constituency has been disrupted. Our reporter tells us that there have been a warning shot fired. We've seen the videos where the police were forced to take control and take the ballot boxes away. The EC director's account is slightly different from what we heard from the National Fed Vice Chairman. He says this individual actually snatched the ballot boxes and the papers, and that is really what sparked this, which is in line with what we heard from our reporter also on this particular matter. We watch this very closely.
Well, let's stay a while longer in the election headquarters. A lot happening on the election front, and the NDC tonight is set to hit the streets in a nationwide demonstration against the Electoral Commission. Well, the protest scheduled for September 17 in all regional capitals across the country is the NDC's next move to compel the EC to clean the current voter register. Well, this was announced by the party's national chairman, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, after filing presidential nominations on behalf of the party's candidate, John Dramani Mahama. We'll get to hear from Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, but first, here's EC Chairperson Jean Mensah laying down the modalities for the vetting of the nominations.
Regulation 7 of CI 127 enjoins a presidential candidate to complete and sign 4 copies of the nomination forms. Additionally, the forms are to be signed by no less than 2 persons who are registered voters in the area of authority of each district assembly. By law, the presidential candidate is also required to designate a person to serve as his or her vice presidential candidate. Further, the presidential candidate is required to deliver the forms to the commission on the date prescribed by the commission. As part of the commission's efforts to ensure a transparent, credible, and accountable process, the commission has developed a detailed checklist that embodies the criteria to be satisfied by presidential candidates as prescribed by law. The checklist will guide the scoring and awarding of marks by teams established by the Commission to scrutinize and review each nomination form submitted. As in 2020, the Commission has established 2 teams which have been tasked to review all forms submitted. The technical team has been tasked to review forms to ensure that the presidential candidates meet the qualifications as set out by law, namely that the candidate is at least 40 years of age, that he or she has satisfied all tax obligations, and that he or she has nominated a vice presidential candidate, among others. The second team, namely the IT team, has been charged with the responsibility of scrutinizing the voter ID cards of presidential candidates and their supporters so as to verify whether the candidates and their supporters are indeed registered voters.
So these are the laid down procedures and rules for this particular process. James Savegi is our man on the ground. He was there this morning for us throughout the day. James joins us in the studios. James, let's talk about the nominations that have been filed today. Who and who were able to file?
So 9 candidates were expected to file, but only 8 out of the 9 have filed. We know Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, the NDC's John Dramani Mahama, Kofi Akpaloo of the LPG, Nana Kwame Bediako, Christian Kwabena Andrews of the Ghana Union Movement, Samuel Appiah Dankwa, who is an independent candidate, as well as George Chumberima, of also an independent candidate, and Dr. Hassan Ayariga. One candidate from the PAG, who is in the person of Nana Enim Nyama have not been able to file today.
And we've been hearing from the candidates after filing?
Exactly. For instance, the APC's Hassan Ayariga, Kofi Apalu of the APC thinks, LPG actually thinks that, you know, as they are filed now, the next thing is the balloting and all of that. We can first hear from Dr. Mahmoud Baumia on his commitment to peace as we go into the election.
And for me, it is personally a very historic opportunity to submit these forms for the first time as a presidential candidate, because we are embarked on this process, which is an election, and these are part of the processes towards the December 7th election. And we need God to continue to bless our country. What we are trying to do is to help uplift our country. We don't want to tear down our country. And so it's very important that our country is uplifted after the election. And in this context, I believe that our prayers and our behaviors as we go through and our conduct will be very, very important to ensure that this process is very peaceful. At the end of the day, I believe also that we should pray for the Electoral Commission. They do a very, very difficult job, probably the most difficult job, because whenever you go into an election, you're either going to win or lose, and usually the EC is the scapegoat for people who may not have won. I believe the EC will live up to the task.
And then the LPG candidates.
Exactly. Kofi Akpaloo, he believes that a slot at the first place will give him victory 2024. And former election director for the NPP, Peter McMenu, have also been speaking on what number will help them break the eight.
I will know for sure. I will be number one on the ballot. And I want all Ghanaians to run behind LPG for Kofi Akpaloo to be the next president of Ghana.
Nana Akufo-Addo has been at number three before, and he has been number one. So for us, and number three, which was 2016 or so, he won.
I think 2016 he was number five, which was the full.
Thank you for the correction. And he died. He won. He won hands down with a difference of over 1 million votes. In 2020, he was number.
When the battle was the Lord's.
Yes, number one. He won with a margin of 500,000 votes. And that was a clear win for a president seeking a second term. So for us, the voters who are the heartbeat of any campaign, they know Dr. Mahmoud Baumia. They know the good job he has done. They know him very well. So wherever you put him, the voters will notice him. But ideally, whatever God will give us, we will hold it. We will cherish it.
You want to break the eight. Will eight position be an ideal position for you?
Well, if it happens, so fine.
Well, and then there was a big announcement from the NDC.
Yes, General Secretary, National Chairman of the party, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, after he filed the nomination, he came out. We thought that was all. And then he made a big announcement as an answer to the calls as to what they would do if the EC does not heed to their call of forensic audit of the voter roll.
We have issues about missing BVRs and all that, which I cannot, enumerate here. And you, the media people, were with some of our people who intercepted and retrieved one of the stolen BVRs, BVDs. So far, we don't have any response. We don't have any feedback as to how the progress is being made on the case involving those who allegedly have been arrested here at your commission and so on. This all generates some amount of,
cloud suspicion.
Cloud suspicion and all that. And so, those of you who have been asking us, if they don't comply, what would you do? This is your answer. On the 17th of this month, The NDC is embarking on a massive nationwide demonstration in all 16 regional capitals. Descend on the Electoral Commission offices, and we in Accra will descend to the headquarters and present further petitions as to why we think that they should conduct themselves in a manner that will guarantee peaceful, free, and fair elections.
So that's the chairman of the NDC. That's a demonstration coming up on the 17th. But you've been hearing from the NPP on this?
Yes. Mr. Peter McMenu thinks that the NPP is very indifferent of this call. They made this call back in 2015-16, where a committee was even constituted. And so without the support of the NDC at the time, and so they feel that the EC is on a good course. If the NDC want to embark on a demo or do whatever, that is their own fight to face.
Thank you very much, James Aveji. And there will be no filing tomorrow. We have it the
no,
day after.
No, we are supposed to have one filing, but that has been postponed to Wednesday. And so Wednesday, we are expecting about 6-7 of them.
Okay, and James will be on that beat for us. Well, Kenneth JC was at the NPP headquarters right after the filing by the candidates. They moved to the NPP headquarters for that mini gathering. And my colleague Kenneth JC was there. Here's his report.
Mahmoudou Balmia reiterated his long-standing commitment to leveraging digitalization as a tool for national development, emphasizing that his administration, if elected, will usher in a new era of prosperity. It, however, did not take long until he took aim at his biggest political rival, John Mahama.
It is clear, and our opponent a year ago seemed very confident, but today, rather than being confident, they seem very angry as they see themselves losing this election. He did not even have enough money to have chalk in schools. Teacher training allowances were canceled. Nursing training allowances were canceled. We had to live in doomsday for 4 years.
Majority Leader Alexander Afenyo-Markin hailed the MPP as a party that rewards hard work, no matter one's background, a reason they've become the first major party to elect a Muslim as its flag bearer since independence, while criticizing the NDC of sidelining Muslims in their party.
For the first time since 1957, when this country attained independence, it has taken the MPP as the first party ever to give a Muslim an opportunity to be a flag bearer in the politics of the country. That even in the NDC, the only gentleman who was the hope of Muslims in the politics of the country was kicked out. I refer to Harun Idrisu. In the NDC party today, there is no prominent Muslim leading a charge in the politics of their party.
The party's general secretary, Justin Kuria, urged supporters to go out and vote on election day to secure a resounding victory for the MPP.
We should not be complacent by thinking that because we have outperformed the NDC, we have done so much growth, so much development, it's a done deal. Please, let us work very hard to make sure we break the eight come December 7th.
Also present at the party's headquarters was the national chairman, Stephen Ntim, running mate Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, chief of staff Frimor Pare, and several other bigwigs of the party.
So the presidential aspirants were filing their nominations here in Accra, in the Ashanti region, and many parts of the country, members who want to go to parliament in the constituencies. I'm talking about the aspiring members of parliament have also been filing their nominations. Let's go to the Ashanti region, where some of the candidates filed. My colleague Nanabuachi Yadom has this report.
The Electoral Commission of Ghana officially commenced the process of receiving nominations from aspiring presidential and parliamentary candidates, making an essential milestone towards the upcoming general elections slated for December 7. In the Ashanti region, some aspirant and incumbent MPs filed their nominations with high hopes of securing another term in office.
In my constituency, there is no doubt that this election, though we believe every election is important to us, there's no doubt that this election Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia is going to be victorious. Yes, I believe that not every single thing that we needed to do has been done. Yes, but if you look at the manifesto that we presented to this country, about 78 to 84% of it is being done. At least that is an A score, and people are going to look up to that and vote for us again for His Excellency Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia and Honorable Dr. Matthew Poku Prempeh to become the next leaders of this country, and Akwesi Kwendu to become the continue with the work that I'm doing in Mensah North as the second term member of parliament for Mensah North constituency.
In the Aswanse constituency, the New Patriotic Party's parliamentary aspirant Manaf Ibrahim filed his nomination to contest incumbent MP Muntaka Mubarak. Flanked by party supporters, Manaf is hopeful of securing victory. He has called for unity to break the long rule of the incumbent MP.
I have been talking to the constituents for about a year now, and I'm quite convinced that God willing, in the next 90 days or so, I will be the member of parliament elect for the Asawasi constituency, God willing. I am very convinced. I'm convinced that I will be the member of parliament elect in the next 95 days.
Can you face off Muntaka in the Asawasi constituency?
I'm actually not facing off Muntaka. I'm actually talking to the constituents to give me the constituency. That is not his. The people, the sovereignty resides with them. And once they decide I should be the MP, there is basically nothing he can do.
For Joy News, Nana Bwati Dankwe Yadom, Kumasi.
Let me take you to the Upper West Region now, where the Upper West Region Member of Parliament for the Wa East constituency has warned that the NDC will not tolerate any manipulation of the electoral process, stating that the party is fed up with sacrificing the will of the people in the name of peace. Upper West Regional Correspondent Rafiq Salam has more.
Towers of the National Democratic Congress, constituency and branch executives and CEO supporters of the party in the Wa East constituency accompanied Deputy Ranking Member of Parliamentary Committee on Agriculture and Member of Parliament for Wa East, Dr. Godfrey Seydou Jassau, to file his nomination for a second term bid in Parliament. The slew of NDC party faithful supporters first converged at the party office at the heart of the Fancy Township and later took a 2-kilometer walk to the district's electoral commission's office for the filing of the nomination amid music from brass band. After careful and meticulous scrutiny of the forms, he was okayed to run for the elections.
We've checked through all of them and we are satisfied with the process that they have complied with all the rules and regulations and we have received them.
Dr. Godfrey Seydou Jassau was praising the EC for the diligent manner they perused through the nomination forms, is confident of a successful second term bid.
I have been diligently rolling out development projects and supporting initiatives in this district in accordance with the manifesto, the social contract that I set with the people. Being an MP in opposition, it slowed down the process. It has not scaled the processes or some of the development outcomes in ways that I preferred. However, I think that on the checklist, on the balance of probabilities, I have satisfied a lot of the conditions and I'm confident that I have set the foundation for election two, round two of my election.
Dr. Jassau averred that it is crystal clear that the MPP has failed in all its promises and does not deserve even an extra day in office after 7 January 2025.
One district, one factory. Where is your one district, one factory in Wa East? It's gone. Where is it? There's no evidence of any one district, one factory. So nothing of agricultural produce is being processed in this constituency. So clearly, that has gone. One village, one dam. Now we have climate change. That has brought this drought. Where are the dams that are supposed to provide water for all year-round agriculture?
Dr. Jassau is expected to pitch his strength against the Wa East District Chief Executive, Dr. Suleiman Owura Mahama, in a contest dubbed the Battle of Doctors. Reporting for J News, Rafiq Salam, Fonsi.
In the studio here, my name is Evans Mensah, and I'm here with
Emefa Apau.
And now to the Western region, where in the Impatano community, young girls face a daunting challenge of walking over 3 hours to the nearest town for school. The exhausting journey through forests and dangerous paths has forced many of the girls to drop out. We know junior high school in the town, some have decided to stay home, leading to a rise in teenage pregnancies. Theodore Koku Mauto reports.
15-year-old Elizabeth Ajim has always wanted to be a nurse, but she dropped out of school a year ago. 7 months down the line, she is pregnant, almost due for delivery.
The man who got me pregnant used to walk with me to school in Asemasa. We went to school together and walked back home together. When it rains, the path becomes very muddy, so if one is not careful, they could fall and dirty their uniform. Even on regular days, the journey is very long. All these made me dislike going to school.
Elizabeth is one of several other girls in Ampatano, a town in the western region of Ghana, who could not take the long walk through thick forest and perilous paths to school in the next town, Asemasa.
I wanted to be a nurse, but when I look at my situation now, I can't be a nurse anymore.
Ampatano has no JHS, but this is not a new problem. Even the primary school in the town was started 3 years ago and currently is held under a shed and in the Catholic Church building.
Class 4 and class 5.
According to the assembly member for Asemasa electoral area, Jude Kanfa, the long tiring journey to and from school is causing many children to drop out after a year or two.
When they drop out from the school, then they started dating with their boys. So within 14, 15 years, they got the pregnancy, then the life jeopardized.
It is almost 9 o'clock, more than an hour after classes were due to start. The students from Ampatano have now arrived. Straight away, they are engaged in academic work. No time to catch their breath.
When you look on your body.
When teaching and learning is going on, you see them sleeping. Some of them, sometimes even what to eat before coming becomes a problem.
Children like those here in Ampatano have to brave perilous odds to enjoy what should be their right. A look at these children begs the question, what would it take to build a 9-unit classroom block for the children of Ampatano?
And my name is Evans Mensah. I'm here with MFR Power. Also joining me right now is George Yaffe, and he has business. Hello, George.
Hi, Evans, and coming up in business. Not at all. I don't have money.
Are you sure?
Okay. Well, coming up, government secures commitment from commercial creditors on proposed terms for restructuring the Eurobond debt. The development expected to aid in the success of the offer, and financial economist urges government to be strategic over moves to tap into the $51 billion Africa-China Fund. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. And the thanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Chaco. Let's now settle for the details. And government has secured commitment from the commercial creditors on the proposed terms for restructuring the Eurobond debt. There is more in the following Business Tech report.
Joy Business understands that that formal communication was sent to government last week just before the offer to restructure the $13 billion was launched. This development should mean that necessary commitments have been secured to ensure that the offer becomes successful in terms of having majority of the commercial creditors exchange their old bonds for new ones. Sources say these creditors have argued that the terms that government has put forward is in line with what was agreed with them earlier this year. We are also learning that the commitment was very important because it was needed before government could have gone ahead with the debt exchange program for the Eurobond holders. We started on September 5, 2024, and is expected in the September 30, 2024. But to ensure that government is not overtaken by events, the finance ministry is also offering some compensation to investors to try and convince them to fully participate in the offer.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, financial economist Professor Lord Mensah is asking government to be strategic in accessing the new funding from China. At the end of the Africa Partnership Summit in China, established $51 billion fund targeted at infrastructure projects on the continent. Government has indicated that it is currently understudying the conditions and may soon apply to draw down some of the funding. But Dr. Lord Mensah says government must tread cautiously in making this request.
We should be careful, and get to know the package. If it's a type of fund that we're going to borrow, come into the pool of government, which is not directed towards any, project, then I'm afraid I would say that we shouldn't go in that direction. But then I like the bit of private sector financing because you're looking at possibility of, private individuals having access to funding, and which Ghana is struggling as we speak now, high interest rate levels and all those. So if we get an external funds that will come into the country to come and serve that purpose through the banks, right? Because the reason why I'm emphasizing on the banks is that, the banks have the technical know-how to determine which sectors of the economy are doing well and all those. So effectively, I'm happy that, such a fund is being made available by the Chinese government. And
financial economist Professor Lord Mensah. Now, banking consultant Dr. Richmond Itwangani has highlighted the state of helplessness of some banks as they move to place fresh charges on foreign currency accounts. They follow the decision of some banks to place as much as $30 as maintenance fee on some foreign currency accounts at the end of each month, starting from August. Litwani argued that some of these banks are just responding to the cost of operations fueled by the increase in the cash reserve requirements coming from the Bank of Ghana.
I think in June, I did a paper about higher cash reserve. And I specifically put my argument on those who have higher foreign deposits. Because at the end of beginning of the year, if the dollar was 11.2 and you provided 10% of the 11.2 at that time, or 10% of that time, and today the same dollar, you're being forced to provide 10% of say 160, it means that you're locking yourself out in something you cannot do anything with. So the banks have realized that if they are to provide more at central bank, why don't we pass on some of the cost to your customers? If your customer decides to do it, you move it $20. And I'm told some of the banks are even charging $30, those who are foreign currency. All that they want you to do, that they want you to reduce the amount of your foreign cash or foreign holdings with.
Dr. Richmond Itwangani is a banking consultant. Now, the Ghana Integrated Aluminium Development Corporation has expressed confidence in increasing production capacity of bauxite going forward. Now, this comes after Parliament in June passed the mining lease for the Ghana Bauxite Company, allowing mining in that country. Now, the senior technical manager of the Ghana Integrated Aluminium Development Corporation, Dr. Kobna Mensah, said the move by Parliament will boost mining in the country. He spoke to Joy Business at the media engagement on the report of the Ghana Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative for 2001 and 2022.
What needs to be done in the case of all other mining leases has to be ratified by Parliament. And that is what happened in July. Furthermore, they are required to complete the EPA mining lease and some other permitting processes that they are going through. They're working on that now. What is new in this is that GIADEC has added on two new hills, two additional hills within our environment. So anything bauxite, all bauxite deposits are held by GIADEC in trust for the government and the people of Ghana. So to ensure that they can meet the quantities and the volume that we seek for them, integrated aluminium projects, we've added on two more hills, the Afumba and the Boka Hills, so that we do have enough resource to meet the new capacity that we are required to meet.
Senior Technical Manager, the Ghana Integrated Aluminium Development Corporation, Dr. Kobna Mensah. And for the lovers of iPhone has finally launched a much-talked-about iPhone 16 just a while ago, which they describe as coming with the latest artificial intelligence. Let's hear from its chief executive, Tim Cook.
iPhone continues to make a profound impact on all of our lives. Its power and capability enable us to get so much done so quickly and so easily, like connecting with our family and friends, staying productive on the go, and capturing life's special moments. Apple Intelligence will supercharge these experiences and so many more. It puts powerful generative models right at the core of your iPhone, making it even more useful and delightful. The next generation of iPhone has been designed for Apple Intelligence from the ground up. It marks the beginning of an exciting new era, and here it is.
And that is the chief executive of Apple, that is Tim Cook, giving us, filling us in on the new features of its advanced iPhone 16 module. And I know lovers
Evans
like
to get me one.
MFA is already placing an order to get it in September. September.
You know the phone I use?
Which phone? I don't care about what the phone you use. Please.
I only buy phones I use.
Eh?
I only buy phones.
So that's one. That's where you're going to buy
phones. Yes, I'm buying one of these. Hello, Ms. Bao.
Hello, Evans. Hello, Evans. Of course, the Black Stars just played a game about an hour ago, and they failed to pick up a win in the second game
again
of the 2025 African Cup of Nations qualifier. Well, they were held to a 1-1 draw earlier today in Morocco against Niger. It was right back Ali Dissédou, who opened the score in the 44th minute of the game, firing a very swerving effort past the Niger goalkeeper. Well, in fact, prior to his goal, Inaki William should have broken the deadlock in the first minutes of the game, but his header did go wide. 10 minutes to go, Umar Sako, Nigerian forward, levelled the score for their side in the Black Stars' box. Following the equaliser, Niger managed to hold on to ensure the game ended in a stalemate. The result means that Ghana picked up just 1 point in the opening two games of the 2025 AFCON qualifiers. We're waiting to see what will be the outcome of the game between Angola and Sudan. But what really is wrong with the Black Stars, and why did they underperform today? Here's Sicho Atrim, who has been giving an insight into that.
It hasn't mattered who the coach has been, right? But the team and even the coaches have a huge psychological problem going into games as long as or as far as the Black Stars are concerned. The team has failed for so long that what should have been a confident thing for them to do when they put on the jersey, now they fear to fail. And people normally discredit the importance of prepping players mentally and psychologically when they come here to Ghana. Because every single time I've seen these boys play, and even for the coaches, they've looked timid, they've looked shy, they've looked afraid, they've looked like people who don't want to take any risk and don't want to carry any blame or whatsoever when the Black Stars have won a game or have lost a game, right? So everybody's playing within their own selves. Nobody really is confident to step it up.
Well, something is a psychological problem. Not sure what you think, Evans. Okay, likewise. Well, I really don't know what is it with the Black Stars. That's it for sports, Evans.
Well, we know something that is wrong. Illegal mining. Well, the Ghana Bar Association has delivered a damning verdict on Galamsey, declaring that things are only getting worse. We can hear from the GBA president speaking at the bar conference today.
Let us also not forget in haste that Galamsey is still with us and wreaking havoc on our forests, water bodies, and the livelihoods of thousands of families whose farmlands and crops have been affected. Galamsey or illegal mining is still a topical issue that deserves comment. The harmful effects of Galamsey are all around us. Despite the efforts and assurance of government to deal with the menace, there appears to be a consensus that not much has been done to effectively and roundly deal with it. To be blunt, things are getting worse. An issue which poses an existential threat to our nation so severe that His Excellency the President put his presidency on the line, unfortunately, has degenerated into a political football match between the major political parties as to who polluted the water the most. It was quite shocking and most regrettable when a member of the leadership of Parliament on the floor of Parliament stated that the minority party during this period in government polluted the waters of Ghana more than the ruling party. Such irresponsible statement by a member of parliament is symptomatic of the malaise affecting our dear nation. Every issue must be reduced to partisan point scoring while our nation bleeds dry. It reveals an uncaring political elite only interested in holding lofty positions in government.
And the GBA has spoken about illegal mining at the bar conference ongoing. Now, 1 month after being recognized for his impact in rural livelihood empowerment, a 2024 Joy News Impact awardee, Dr. Kwame Sakwa Edu, has bought bicycles with his cash prize for 10 school children in Dongkokrom in the Eastern Region. He has also trained over 100 more locals in honey making to support their livelihood. Joy News' Caleb Mensah has the more.
It is a gathering of school children, parents, teachers, and locals, all with faces beaming with joy. The community hero is here to change their story. For the school children, at least 10 of them, for now, walking 6 kilometers to school and back is now a thing of the past, thanks to Dr. Edu's feats as Joy News Impact Maker awardee. Two of the beneficiaries of his benevolence, Edward Williams, a teacher, and Naomi Aye, a student, could not hide their joy and the relief the intervention brings to them.
This particular training is important and it's going to go a long way to help me and then the children back at school who join the bus club.
These bicycles will help us not to walk a long distance to our school. God bless Beast for Development Ghana for helping us.
Dr. Edu says the donation is in fulfillment of his commitment to the impact he has set out to make.
I've come this week to support them further. We have selected 6 basic schools. We will establish bus clubs. And to start, we will train 2 teachers from each of the schools and train them to handle these children, to further encourage the children to learn about bees and also to keep the environment intact.
The 2024 Joy News Impact Makers Award is the second edition since its inception. 10 nominees were recognized in various fields of endeavor aimed to promote community development. Caleb Manson's report for Joy News.
The Media Organization of the Year 2023. Is your guess as good as what is here? It's Multimedia Ghana Limited.
And in fact,
Yeah, that's us.
And by the way, that's one of the biggest announcements last weekend, that we're announcing our winner at the 31st Chartered Institute of Marketing Performance Awards night. The group swept 4 awards, namely the Media Group of the Year, the Online Portal of the Year, that's myjoyonline.com, and the Radio Program of the Year, Sempire FM's Echo CSN. George Yafe has the rest of the story.
The awards, which has become the standard for measuring marketing excellence in Ghana, but all those who matter in the corporate space, together at the Plush Labadi Beach Hotel. Multimedia Group on that night won all the awards when it comes to the media space. Here is the announcement that preceded the awards presentation for that night.
The Media Organization of the Year 2023. Is your guess as good as what is here? The winner of this award is Multimedia Ghana Limited. Congratulations to you. Multimedia Ghana Limited. The next award category is the Online News Portal of the Year 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, the Online News Portal of the Year 2023 goes to My Joy Online.
Also, the Radio Program of the Year went to Asempa FM's show Echo CSN. Meanwhile, Emmanuel Givenu's special feature on the plight of 2 disabled students at the University of Ghana won the Presidential Special Award.
Esther Boidu, student, University of Ghana, and her bosom friend, Miss Felicity Wedava Ajure, who is also a student of the University of Ghana. And now, the journalist who threw light and visibility on this particular story. Let's help celebrate Mr. Emmanuel Kwashi Givenu, journalist, Joy News, who broke the story. Let's welcome the 3 of them even as they come.
The National Science and Mass Quiz program, put together by Primetime Limited, which is also heavily partnered by Multimedia Group, won the TV program of the year. The overall marketing campaign of the year went to MTN Ghana. In related development, the managing director of Labadi Beach Hotel, David Duafu, was adjudged the marketing man of the year at the CIMG Awards night. So Duafu dedicated the award to the staff and workers of the hotel.
What a weekend it was. And Rafiq Salam also won an award at the Upper West GJA. And then also Albert Sori also won an award. And Emmanuel Jiveno, of course, you've been hearing. And then Sweetie Abochi, AM show host, also was the 40 under 40 award for the media category. Charlie, it's a winning spree the entire weekend. I'm so proud of my colleagues. Yeah. And there's more to come. And let's wrap up. Evans, what's your award this week? Okay. Well, we have...
I'm just basking in the glory
of our colleagues. Yeah. And there's more to come. And that's my opinion. Nana Asakwa. Award-winning Nana Asakwa is up next. And the topic for today, blame the polluter or the drinker. You have an answer to that?
I don't.
Okay.
But
let's
he has.
Wait.